Blog Talk Radio.
You. Ready. Good evening, podcast audience. It's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and it's time for the world premiere podcast, The Attic.
The Attic
is an urban-based podcast. All founding members are from the beautiful, toxic state of New Jersey. Now, my team, the folks that helped me put together this podcast, I got Big Brother, the Messenger, got my baby sister, and my baby brother. We have Sister Tippy, and we have Nurse Carmen. Now, if you'll give me 60 of your minutes, guaranteed to entertain you. And again, we want to make Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, an event in your podcast life. Every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, we want you tuned into
The Attic.
Yeah, that's right. Tune into The Attic. I'm going to keep screaming, The Attic. Hey, good evening, podcast audience. How's everybody doing this evening?
Hey, group, how are we?
Hey, what's up? We got what's up, OG? That's that's triple OG right there. You see, he bring the volume with him, man. But hold on one second, OG. Let me do the intro, man. Hold on.
That man is on fire.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, podcast audience. This is co-producer on Hodge. Good evening, podcast audience. This is co-producer on Block Talk Radio with Hodge the Hodge Podcast. See, OG got me fired up. I'm ready to roll. Welcome to Wednesday night. It's Wednesday night. 9 o'clock, and as always, we want to be your Wednesday night entertainment. Help us grow the podcast. Please log into Blog Talk Radio and check us out. We try to be entertaining. We know we're funny, if only to ourselves. But here we go. That's the best I had right now. All my writers are on strike. Tonight we want to talk about. We got three little items we want to talk about tonight. I'm sorry. I know why I can't get right. Let me introduce my cast. We'll bring my cast in. How you doing this evening, folks?
I'm well, my brother.
All right. There we go. Now I feel the energy rising. How you feeling, OD?
Who that be?
That'd be you, OG.
Me?
That's you, man.
That would be you.
OG, please explain to me where the OG came from.
Original gangster.
I'm not a...
No. No, original
no,
grandfather.
No, I understand.
Yeah, original grandfather.
OG.
Yeah, original grandfather. But you a gangster, though. You a gangster. Yes, you are.
Hey, what else? Hey, listen.
Go ahead, brother.
Just for a minute talk about the occupant in 1600?
We're going to get to him. We're going to get to him, man. But before we get to him, man. All right, hold on. Don't you go nowhere, because we're going to get to him, all right? But before we get to him, we're going to close the show out with him, man, because he's the president and he deserves our attention, man. So he's going to get to close the show out. But has anybody seen he deserves it, everything we're about to give him. Has anybody seen the Netflix movie Dolomite with Eddie Murphy?
Not yet.
Yes.
Is it banging or what?
It was it was decent. It was pretty. You know, wasn't bad. Wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was decent.
Do you remember Dolomite? Did anybody from the cast? Y'all remember Dolomite?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Dolomite was just hard. He had it rhymed, and again, he just had those gangster. I'm from the deep south type rhymes, man. But I enjoyed him. I remember his rhymes. I remember sneaking listening to his albums. And I think that, again, I think Eddie did a good job on that movie, man. I think Eddie played him well. But what people don't understand, is, and actually, I mean, I knew this, you know, a few years back, but we just thought of Dolemite as just this hard rhyme sayer. Like, one of his rhymes used to be, this is the only one I really remember from back in the day. He said, like, you know your little sister that you love so dear? Then put a nice word in there all night for a bottle of beer. For whatever reason, that rhyme I remember growing up. But that was that's how he rhymed. He had that hard, nasty, adult comedy. But, again, he was an innovator.
A little vulgar, yeah.
He was an innovator. And again, I remember Dolemite movies. And I always thought that was, I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't give him praise because Eddie Murphy redid it. I never liked him. I liked his albums, but I never liked the movies. But it was just so fascinating to see that he actually made those movies. He put the crew together. So he is one of your first black directors. One of.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I'm not a Dolemite fan either, but watching that movie, I could really say that he really went hard to put his movie out. He was really what you would consider a pioneer for his time, as far as what he went through to get his movie out there.
And that's what I'm saying. So, you know, we later learned that what we thought was just hardline adult comedy was there was a business mind behind that to make all that work, man. And so many times, you know, we just get lost in some spectacular thing that a person did or does, and we really lose sight of all the behind the scene things that make that happen. I mean, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, my thing is, I give a big shout out to Eddie Murphy. I mean, Netflix paid him a grip. I mean, they broke him off real proper because I think he got a deal to do three or four movies with him, Netflix specials. So, if the rest of what he going to deliver is like Dolemite, then Netflix, that was a solid investment you made. But
I mean, case in point, I think Dolemite spent, and this is during that time back in the 60s?
Yeah,
60s when he made that movie. I think he spent like $100,000, and the movie grossed like maybe $12 million, something like that. So that was a lot of money, you know, give or take something in that ballpark. So that was a lot of money for that time. And I mean, and what he did was he went and got kids right out of college to help him produce it. Well, to help him do like the soundstage, and to help him choreograph it and all that kind of stuff.
He
so
came
that
to
was
work
even
with
a smart
idea.
Move.
Yeah, all he had was the idea, and he put people around him to put all that in play. So that's always an excellent move, power move.
Right. And I mean, granted, they were B movies. You know, because, I mean, he didn't really have any acting skills or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, you can see that when you see the
but
movie.
But he had Wesley.
So it wasn't like this was no top-notch movie. But the fact that he put it out there and you know, I mean, when you see it, it's really no top-notch movie.
Wesley,
but the fact that he was able to pull it off.
He had Wesley Snipes. Wesley knew how to – Wesley directed for the movie for him. You know, Wesley knew how to get it right. Yo,
but, I mean,
I want to say this, though.
Wesley,
I did not realize.
Whoever that character was that Wesley played at that time was supposed to be this producer that had the experience.
Right. But my son stick out when you see black actors on TV playing cross-dressing role. Or,
he wasn't a producer.
Huh?
No, I was going to say he wasn't a producer. He was an actor. So in order to get him in the film, my man let him direct the movie.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is my son stick out whenever they have black actors playing gay roles or real female roles, then that means they about to their career is about to go get big, so to speak. So I'm hoping to prove them wrong, because if Wesley on the comeback, you know, that's the role to get you back, man. You play cross dress or something like that. That seems to be the move that let Hollywood know that, okay, we can start promoting this black actor. But again, that's just an observation we made. There's no scientific data to support that.
not all the time. Normally, that's a career killer. When you put a dress on, that's why most people, guys, won't put a dress on. Eddie got away. I mean, not Eddie. Martin Lawrence got away with it in Big Mama, but not too many people can do that. Actually,
Eddie Murphy did it, and he did it in Nutty Professor.
Yeah, they can do that. Now, I'm saying they can do that, but the guy that played his son in Big Mama killed his career. You ain't seen him in shit yet after that.
He was a lottery ticket.
Tyler
Perry didn't. Yeah. Tyler wore a dress more than a suit. But.
Yeah. But anyway.
He became a billionaire,
like said,
by the way.
I give him a lot of respect for what he was able to accomplish for during that time, you know, and what he was able to accomplish.
Yeah. Mad love. Go out to Rudy Ray Moore, a.k.a. Dolomite, and to my man Eddie, even though you wouldn't shake my hand when I stopped by your office that day, Eddie Murphy. I ain't forgot about that shit. yeah, I'm sorry. I'm holding on to that, man. Hey, so what we going to talk about now is hey, baby, sis, take me into the next topic with a day of observance or outrage. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's today was today was called the Day of Outrage. I'm not sure if anybody aware of that, or did anybody hear about that?
No, I didn't hear.
It was called the Day of Outrage. It was where communities across the nation got together today to demand justice for African American men and women who lost their lives during encounters with law enforcement. So basically, over two dozen cities participated in this national Day of Outrage. And it was basically, they had rallies that was really meant to highlight the death of that Tatiana Jefferson, which that was like maybe a couple of weeks ago, where that 28-year-old young lady that got killed in her home in front of her nephew. And the other gentleman who got killed at home by an officer that came inside his house. And just other, you know, just other African Americans that have been killed by law enforcement. They just had today as a day of outrage to, you know, just keep people aware of that, and just to let everybody know that we can't continue on with that. So, you know, today was a day of outrage for that. And like I said, they had rallies all across the country about that, where they wanted everybody to, you know, get together. And like I said, did anybody hear about that at all, or is anybody aware of it? It's just a day of reckoning.
Well, I mean, I didn't. I mean, you. We kind of talked earlier in the week, and you let me know about it. But see, when we talked about it, my thing was, and I get it, but I think it kind of belittles or smallens, if there's such a word, the situation when we have a day of outrage for police killing black women. A day of outrage for police killing.
It was men and women. It wasn't just women.
Okay.
It was men and women.
Well, again, a day of outrage to me should be for police killing everybody. I'm just saying, no, I get it, and I'm with the movement. Don't get me wrong.
Well, and that's what it was for. It was for everybody. That's what it was for, my brother. It was everybody. It was
day of
men and women.
I thought it was about for black women.
No,
I'm sorry, then.
Men and women. Men and women.
Okay.
It was men and women.
Okay, so then it was an excellent thing. See, when I first read the story or got the information on it, I thought it was a day of outrage just for police killing one particular sex or gender. But okay, so
well,
I got the information
I got
wasn't correct. I got it.
Actually, this is what it says. It says communities across the nation got together today to demand justice for African-American men and women who lost their lives during encounters with law enforcement. It was a national day of outrage. That's what it was supposed to be for, the men and women.
All right. But, okay, when you have a day of outrage, this is, I'm just saying, and I'm not knocking it, please understand that, let's just have a day of outrage for police killing people. You know, this way you keep everybody united in the struggle is to try to fix this shit. Now, don't get me wrong. We being taken out in disproportionate numbers. You know, there's no doubt about that. When you run the stats, everything is ending up black, no good. But what I'm saying is when you have a day like this, and again, I don't mean to lessen this, but please don't anybody take it. I'm trying to broaden it. Let's have a day of outrage for police just killing
everybody
involved in the day. I mean, does that make I mean, I know it makes sense, but I'm not trying to cheapen the day of outrage for black men and women. But again, when we start to protest or take a stance against just damn being wrong, man, it don't matter if you purple, man. If that way you get the purple people involved in the struggle. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Again, not trying to cheapen the day. It was a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful thought. But I'm just saying, let's broaden that and make it inclusive so we have everybody. And don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure.
I think the outrage came from the fact that these people were killed by officers coming into their homes. So is everybody being killed by officers coming into their homes and doing this? Because if that's the case, then we can do it for everybody. But is everybody being killed by officers coming into their homes and doing it?
Now, once again.
Can I say something here?
Go ahead, bro.
Can I suggest that it diminishes the whole point? If we're not upset about the death of all innocent people, then we're not upset about anybody.
See, that's the point I was trying to make, yeah.
I picked up on it immediately.
Yeah.
And you're right.
I understand what both of you are saying, but I'm saying this is what their issue was. The fact that there's killings being done on both sides, by black, white, Hispanic, you know, everybody, but they're saying, is everybody being killed now where they're coming inside your homes and doing it while you're playing video games? Is it being done like that with everybody to that extent? Because now it's like it's being taken to another level.
I don't like to quote the brother very often because he's so powerful. I don't want to misquote him. But Brother Minister Farrakhan told us long time, I would say at least 20 years ago, that this is where this, because of the injustice, this is where it's going to end up. I mean, then now they come in your own home and kill you. And again, I will say this, and I don't have a whole lot positive to say in respect to the justice system on this account, but they are, it seems like, excuse me, they are starting to charge police officers, and you know, a couple of them starting to go to jail. So that in itself will eliminate this. Well, excuse me, it will decrease this greatly.
Yeah.
If you make them accountable, they won't do it so recklessly.
You're right. The more that they're called to the bar, if you will, the less it'll happen. You're absolutely right.
Especially when you're going to be
incarcerated.
They've
been operating with impunity ever since time began. And it is about time we are called to the bar.
We got to bring that shit to a halt. And I don't know how. I don't know exactly what it's going to take, but it's got to come to a halt. Hey, but listen.
Yeah, but we got to bring everybody else along with us. We cannot do it alone.
No, we can't. Because if we do it alone, we're going to end up right where we are right now. With the same struggle forever.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. Hey, but listen. Precise. Let's slide down to Pennsylvania Avenue. And again, my brothers and sisters out there who had the day of outrage, I'm with you. I mean, I stand tall with you. So again, yeah, please don't think I try to diminish that, but I'm just saying let's broaden it so we get global attention on this issue. Because global attention,
I guess what they're saying is they had to, you have, in order to do something for it to go global, you got to speak up and do something to not to not say anything. So I guess that's what they're saying. They started somewhere with it.
Okay. And again,
I don't have a problem with it.
Me neither.
Me either. I don't have a problem with it either. I'm looking at it like they felt like they had to do something has to be done. To do nothing is doing it all a disservice. So something had to be done.
Do nothing is worse. Because
you're right.
Do
right.
Nothing
exactly.
enables
exactly.
them to do what they're doing. No, you're right.
Right. Right.
All I want to do is broaden it. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, I want to make it bigger so that that's all. Hey, but listen, because if it's just about one race, then that must mean it must be the presidential race.
Thank you very much.
That was my statement.
Which is my
man.
Point. I don't want him impeached. I want him thrown out of office by the American people. And this way, these idiots on the right won't have an argument.
Nah, that's what I said.
I remember.
I hear you speaking from your heart right now.
Huh?
Yeah, you're speaking from the heart right now, but there ain't nobody throwing him out of office.
Yes, see, yes.
Yeah, they're not going to throw him out of office.
There's an expression.
I know what you mean.
Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the damn time.
But his thing is, I don't want to fool you. I'm doing what I do because I'm the president. I ain't trying to fool you. I mean, I don't have enough sense to cover it up properly. But
he's fooling the people that vote for him. Those idiots out there that think he's doing okay.
His base, he's doing exactly what they want done. It doesn't matter about the economy. There's certain shit that we probably won't figure out for about 15, 20 years. But there's certain shit that he's in office to put in place. It ain't about American people or the economy. It's about a certain group of people within this nation, and he's putting power moves in play for them that's going to benefit them for some time. That's what I see.
No, you're right. You're right. It was said that after the tax cut, he came down to Mar-a-Lago and told all his friends, I just made you guys a little wealthier.
Yeah.
Of course we know what it was for.
Okay.
Only an idiot does, but his people believe it's for them.
His people believe that it's for greater separation of races of people in this country is what I believe. If we see that building, even though we're not getting major, you know, most of the poor people, whether you black or white, Trump is not good for you. But if you're in his base, then you understand it's not about me coming up economically. I'm looking at the long picture. I'm looking at the big picture. And the big picture says we're going to be back in the 30s and 20s real soon. That's what the big picture is. So I'll stay broke to make sure we get back to that point in history. It don't make a whole lot of sense to anybody, but in order for you to follow and support him, you got to believe that. And let me say this too. Even though you support him, at some point, man, some of this bullshit that he do, I mean, what's wrong with saying, yo, he my man, but, yo, that was foul. That was foul right there. No, everything he does is beautiful to his people, man.
Yeah, but to admit that my, quote, leader, unquote, is all incompetent, is omniscient, is to deny anything and deny everything. Like he said, Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody, he'll still get elected, and I believe he will.
Watch this.
But if you put it in this, think about the American people, I've learned, in the short years I've been around. There comes a time in the psyche of the American where they get tired of being made fools of.
Nah, that time don't come.
Nixon came into office with the biggest total vote ever. I mean, this guy had what?
Okay.
50.
But let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this question here. If that was Obama, do you think Obama could do what Trump is doing?
Obama could do what?
The stuff that Trump is doing right now. If Obama was doing that, huh?
He'd have been out the next morning. He'd have been out the next morning if not late.
Okay, but hold on. So if we understand that there's no way Obama could do that, but Trump is doing it every day, do we not see that he's not alone? They are allowing this to take place. Because if we understand, it don't even have to be Obama. You let, you let anybody come into office doing what Trump is doing, and they trying to put them out or put them under. But my man gets to do that. Every day we talk about it, we complain, but every day it continues. I mean, to me, that lets me know what he's doing. He's backed by people much bigger than, as we say, the American people. But he got power behind him. I'm sorry.
Well, not only that, he's also, they're more worried about their position, and they don't want to be primary behind that. So to go against the president, you're possibly losing your gravy train job. It's all about
jobs.
Well,
these people who have been going before the congressional committees of late, people who previously worked there.
If you notice,
is a sign.
Hey, hold on one second, Sister Tippy and Brother Messenger. Let me hear your thoughts on this. I haven't heard much from you tonight.
Well, I do believe that they're getting ready to slow walk him down. He got by for a while, but I think because the American public is finding out a little bit more about what's going on, and you know, people kind of criticize old Nancy, said that she was slow walking this, but she played it just right, and he's at the point now, because if you'll hear, you'll see there's slowly but surely Republicans that are coming out against him. I think it's
Amen.
Just a matter of time now.
Amen. That was precisely
She coming after him like Hannibal Lecter at the end, Song of the Lamb, how he was going after that doctor, if anybody remembers that.
Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Hello. Anybody there?
Anybody here?
Yeah, we're here.
It's breaking up.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up. Sister Tim, I haven't heard from you tonight. You all right?
I think his boys are listening to your podcast. And they're putting a little twist in it.
Well, again, like I said, if they listen, I want them to understand. I understand that man is not doing what he's doing just because he is who he is. That man, again, you want the president on some buffoonery, some trickery. Now you operating like you don't even begin to understand what a president should be doing, and nobody's able to touch you, man. So again, he's protected. And when I say protected, he's backed by the people that to touch him. You got to touch all the powerful people that you can't touch. That's what I see. I'm sorry. I believe that.
It is not. Richard Nixon thought he was untouchable too.
Well, I mean, eventually the people who put him there are going to get tired of him. Then they will allow him to be touched. But right now, from day one to right now, that man has given the nation more than enough reasons for him not to be running this country. But he's still running it. That's
you are right, but short of a military coup, the only way you can do it is two ways, either through the ballot box or impeachment. We don't do military coups in this
country. Why do you think
we don't do military coups in this country?
Why do you think only Republicans that's retiring speaking out right now? They're not worried about job security.
Okay, hold on.
About their job.
All right. Well, we got 10 seconds left, folks. Let me close this podcast out. I do thank you for joining Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. I guess we might have to start extending our podcast back out to 45 minutes to an hour. But that ends our 30-minute podcast for tonight. I thank you for joining us. Tune in next Wednesday on Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful evening.
Peace,
say
everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Peace out.